ask John whatever you want about the Texans, 713-572-4610. I want to figure out in about a minute here what the unappealing parts of the Texans GM job is. Right now, let's go to the phones. Heath on Mad Radio. Heath, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, General. I have a question. It's a two-part question. Do you and O'Brien have a good relationship? And the second question is, if you answer the question that it is, then why does it always seem that when you ask a question in the media after the game or during your interviews during the week, that he always gives you a hard time or makes it seem like that he's mad at you? I'll say, hang up and listen. Thank you.
I have so many people that ask me that question. I have a good working relationship with O'Brien. I know after a game when he loses, he's going to be in a really bad mood. A lot of his answers are going to be short. But I like interviewing him because he says things to me of substance. He's never going to be controversial. But I like people that offer some insight. And a lot of his stuff is pablum because you know it's going to be when it comes to injuries.
Pablum?
Pablum, which means worthless, useless.
I didn't know that.
So
okay.
Anything when you come to involve in injuries, he's never going to say anything bad about his players. People get tired of him blaming himself. Players appreciate that. So no, I have a good working relationship. I like it when Bill is sometimes, because he's emotional and he's moody, and when he's not angry or he's less angry, he's kind of surprising. So I like dealing with him because for what I need as a sports writer, he does a good job.
One thing I've noticed is the difference between seeing him in person and then listening to the audio, because I think that sometimes that doesn't come across. He's got a kind of a dry, sarcastic sense of humor,
yeah.
And sometimes he's just messing with you or Brian T. Smith. Like, sometimes he's genuinely angry at you, or he's just angry in general. But then there are times where when I hear the audio, I'm like, oh my gosh, why does he hate him so much? Then you go back and watch the video and you're like, oh, okay, he's just messing with him.
He has a Northeast sense of humor.
Yeah.
A couple of times he said, I don't know if you guys get my sense of humor. He told the Boston media, I don't know if they get my sense of humor here. Well, after 4 years, we do.
John, Landry mentioned on our show Monday that he talked to somebody who knows Will McClay, the Cowboys VP of player personnel. Will McClay, discussing the Texans GM job, said, paraphrasing, there are some very appealing parts about the job. There are some very unappealing parts about the job. Does that surprise you? And what do you think the unappealing parts of the job may be?
The unappealing parts of the job, they don't know what Rick Smith's situation is nationally. Everybody's wondering. Like I've said, I do not expect Rick to be back. I think Rick will be a general manager somewhere else. And I think that the fact they don't have their first two picks, they've got more cap money, and they'll have about $55 million. Can't spend it all because other expenditures like the draft come out of that. But they're, to me, going to be able to get at least four expensive free agents that we would consider expensive. Problem is San Francisco and Cleveland have $100 million. I think Jacksonville still has $70 million. It's amazing to me. I just read Jacksonville's defense has only two starters who were drafted in the first two rounds, Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack.
Drafted by them in the first two rounds, was a third round pick.
Telvin Smith was a fourth or fifth. And then they have done a tremendous job with veteran free agents. And this is on defense. Mike, tell them about what we were talking about off air about how teams have been successful spending money in free agency on defense in recent years.
So here's the deal. Seth and I will delve more into this in detail coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, but there's a good article by Kevin Clark on The Ringer, basically how the rising salary cap explains the NFL playoffs. And if you kind of go up and down and look at a lot of the teams that are remaining, they've spent a lot of money in free agency. The Patriots, Tennessee, the Rams, I know they're out, the Vikings, Carolina, Jacksonville especially, that if you look at it closely, the NFL salary cap has gone up about $10 million per year in the last 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So now teams, like back in the day, when I say the day, it would be like 2008 or 2002.
Well, the Green Bay Packers was the dream model of, like, they had very few free agents. And
yes.
It was all homegrown.
But back in the day, these teams would go through such salary cap hell that you would have to basically take like a year or two off and not be that good because it was so tight. Now you're in a situation where almost no team is really up against the salary cap. And a lot of these contracts, no matter how big they are, they're basically two-year guarantees.
Yeah.
So almost no team in the NFL is really in salary cap trouble. And it's kind of changed the way that people build good teams in the NFL in 2018, 2017.
That's one of the things that people are excited about in Green Bay is this Gutekunst gets hired and just comes right out and says, hey, times are changing. We're going to spend aggressively in free agency. And that's something that Ted Thompson was notoriously, for the good or for the worst, like they didn't spend in free agency. They wanted to use their own draft picks. It's getting more and more unreasonable to expect to compete with all these other teams if you're not spending in free agency.
We're going
to
be shocked at the money that's spent on certain positions, like last year, offensive line.
Yeah.
The list of offensive tackles there is not a good list, but a couple of those guys are going to get paid anyway.
I think that's... I guess if I'm looking at the unsavory aspects of taking this job as GM, if I put myself in the position of a Brian Gain or anybody else, the McClay from Dallas, and I'm looking at this, the first thing that jumps out at you is, okay, I want to leave my imprint on this organization. I want to have an influence, and I'm coming in year one without a first or second round pick. And exactly, and like you just mentioned, one of the problem areas is the offensive line. Me as the new GM has to fix the defensive backfield and the offensive line, and there are very few good offensive linemen out there. There's the Norwal kid from Carolina that maybe you bring in at guard. You're going to have to spend a whole bunch of money on bringing a guard in, if he's even available.
Yep.
Very good chance that Carolina just hems him up themselves. So that not having a first-round pick, and think about where Rick Smith made his living or his reputation for a long time was that, say whatever else you want about him, he was nailing his first round picks. And that was what he got to hang his hat on. The guy that comes in this year is going to have nothing until day three.
Well, as I was looking on Jacksonville, they've got a lot of guys. In fact, I'm going to be doing a story on all the players in the Pro Bowl, Hall of Fame, NFL who were drafted in the third round down. And they also, the new GM should be aggressive in taking the pick from Seattle, a 2 in 2019, and maybe using that as part of a deal this year. Say take, like Cleveland. Cleveland's got 5 picks in the first 2 rounds. I doubt they want that many young players, considering how many young players they already have. So maybe they would give you a 2 for a 3 this year and a 2 next year. And if you targeted somebody in the second round that you had to have, say it, offensive tackle. I'm guessing they're going to draft a tackle in the third round, unless they can trade up into the second.
Agreed.
And I think that they will sign a tackle. And I think their first 3 picks would be, depending on the order, would be a tackle, a corner, and a safety.
Our guy Texans Cap, at Texans Cap on Twitter, weighs in. He points these out, John. What do you think of these other unappealing things about this situation? Inheriting a head coach and questions on ownership meddling at various points in the past.
Well, I don't know what they're talking about, ownership meddling. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
I'm assuming he's referencing that McNair came to them in two years ago and said, get me a quarterback.
Yeah.
I've never confirmed that myself.
I thought McNair said himself
that he
said
we're about they need a quarterback. I've never heard Bob McNair say you have to do anything.
Well, let's go with
but everybody knew they needed a quarterback.
Let's go with circumstantial evidence. It seemed like the owner was basically like, let's find a solution for a franchise quarterback 2 years ago.
What's going on with my brain? Bill O'Brien acknowledged it in the press conference saying, hey, I'm going to do what the owner wants us to do. And that was when they went out and got Osweiler. Not to get Osweiler specifically, but to go out and find a quarterback
that
year.
And that's like
year.
People saying that McNair made him sign Osweiler. People have think that
Well, no,
McNair,
no, they didn't make him sign Osweiler.
No, there were people that said that they made O'Brien take Osweiler, that McNair and Rick Smith made him do it. And to say that McNair makes them do anything, people are clueless about what happens here behind the scenes. McNair doesn't say you have to do this. He said publicly, we need a quarterback. I would like to see us get a quarterback. But he never said behind the scenes, you have to get a quarterback.
Could that could be a distinction without a meaningful difference. Like, let's say our boss or your boss said something to that effect, or let's say this whole Bob Kraft, Jimmy Garoppolo, Bill Belichick situation. Now these people in New England are saying, well, Bob Kraft didn't, he never had a meeting. He didn't give him a mandate. But there must be. But why did Belichick just randomly trade away Garoppolo?
Because
to complete your first analogy, if your boss was in a meeting with you, Mike, and said, "I really think that we need to talk. I really think this. I really think it's a good idea to talk more Rockets." You're not going to take that and be like, well, he never explicitly told me to go talk more
Rockets.
There's
no mandate.
But you're going to go, you're going to go talk more Rockets.
Yes.
So if Bob McNair says we need a quarterback this year.
What you said was owner interference. What was the term about
meddling? Meddling. He said meddling.
That's absolutely preposterous.
Okay.
I can't believe people think after all these years that McNair meddles in what the Texans do.
Mad takes on the way. We have a story that I think John will appreciate about discrepancies in pay in Hollywood. Plus, what states need to do to handle idiots with drones? This is Mad Radio on a Wednesday.